Game on 2FM.
With Gillette. Great performances begin with a comfortable close shave from Gillette. Gillette, making men's lives just that little bit easier.
Text 51552.
Game on. Weekdays from 6.
Now to football, and we had a fantastic night of Premier League action last night. A former professional footballer, Paul Corrie, joins us on the line. Paul, what can I say? Liverpool, 43 points out of 45, not bad.
Absolutely incredible, Marie. And what was most astonishing about last night was the fact that there was no Bobby Firmino, there was no Mohamed Salah, and they still managed to bang in 5 goals. And just looking relentless at this stage, and it's very difficult to look past them in regards to who's going to win the league.
Paul, just for a derby game though, to win that 5-2, you know, everyone was saying before that form goes out the window when it comes to a derby match. Liverpool made a statement, didn't they?
They did, and I think the fact that they were able to utilise players who haven't really featured too much this season and still produce such a dominant display is a testament to the ethos, the culture, everything that's about Liverpool that does so good this season. And the nature of the goals, like, they just hit everything so quickly on the counter-attack, and they just have seemed to have so much pace going forward. And if you're talking about players of the year so far, it's hard to look past Sadio Mane. A goal last night and 2 incredible assists. The pass for Origi's goal and the pass for Shaqiri's was just breathtaking and just so dynamic going forward and so, so difficult to deal with.
Yeah, Paul, Marie was nervous, obviously, with all the changes, but it looks like Klopp is using this time to use his whole squad. But they had their homework done last night, didn't they?
They did, and they're going to have to use their full squad because they've got, you would imagine they're going to go quite far in the Champions League and the domestic competitions, and then they have the World Club Championships as well to take into consideration, which I have no doubt they'll want to go and win. So he will have to, he seems to be a great man, manager at Donegal, and he seems to keep everybody on side and happy and hungry that once they get their chance that they're going to make the most of it. So I'd say there was a few Liverpool fans who were looking at the squad and asking questions as to why there were so many changes and the timing of the changes, but it's proved to be in a good call, and Everton aren't exactly in a great run of form themselves, and maybe he saw this as a good opportunity to bring in some of the people who haven't played too much.
You still have to worry about the defence. Like, even Trent Alexander-Arnold, although he's brilliant at attacking, like, I was nervous when the ball was going near him.
Yeah, they had a few close scares last night, and I only caught the highlights of it. And there were a few chances. I saw one that Lovren turned around the corner, and defensively people always ask questions of Trent, but when you're scoring 5 goals at home, you can probably afford to let in one or two, and every time they step out and pitch, it looks as if they're going to outscore teams. You wouldn't imagine that they're going to keep an abundance of clean sheets, and they won't be relying on too many clean sheets because they just seem to have so much going forward. But if you are looking at one area that they could potentially improve, it's just defensively. But whether or not you're going to swap out Alexander-Arnold or Robertson for a more defensive player, I would really doubt it. The only other thing is the fact that Adrian has come in now, and he doesn't give you the same sort of assurances when he's playing.
Yeah, and obviously brilliant night for Liverpool, but from an Everton point of view, and Marco Silva, he's under real pressure now. Is he done? Is he gone?
Yeah, I think he's done, Dunica. I think the writing has been on the wall for a couple of weeks, and they've been taken on a week-by-week basis, but the results haven't been there, and that will have hurt Everton fans last night, you know, against their arch rivals, and to be beaten so convincingly will really hurt. So I think he has to go. I think the recruitment has been quite poor. They've spent huge money on the likes of Iwobi, on Moise Keane, and you look through the team, you know, they've spent big money on Sigurdsson, Yerry Mina, so he's been given the investment, he's been given the time, and it's for one reason or another, it just hasn't worked. And he's chopped and changed the formations and personnel, and it hasn't worked at all. So I wouldn't be surprised if you saw somebody come in there. I know David Moyes has been linked there, but maybe somebody like an Eddie Howe, who's done really well with Bournemouth, who is British, that the fans might associate themselves a bit more with. I think Eddie Howe's also an Everton fan, so I wouldn't be surprised if that was somebody they went after, and it's just a matter of time now. I'd say they're just waiting to get that person in before they get rid of Silva.
And just on that, who makes that decision? Because they've the owner, the director of sport, like, who's making that call? Or do you think it's already made and they're looking for a better run of fixtures to actually appoint someone new?
Yeah, potentially. I wouldn't be surprised if it was a similar situation to that of Spurs, when Pochettino left and Mourinho was in the wings waiting to be appointed. So I would imagine that they're trying to ID the ideal candidate. And whether that is David Moyes or whether it is in Eddie Howe, I would say between the director of football and the board, I'd say they're working tirelessly to find somebody who really matches what it is they're trying to do. And it has been noted that they have a really, really difficult December, and that's a difficult time to come in. But at the same time, they need to change something quickly because they're slipping down the table and they're sitting currently in third from bottom. And Everton, with the money that's gone in there and the success that they've had in previous years in regards to being in the top half of the table, they can't accept that.
Man United, Jose's new managerial bounce came to an abrupt halt last night, Paul. I don't think too many were expecting that.
No, probably not, and myself included. And I'm sure there was many a player in that Manchester United dressing room, who, in particular Marcus Rashford, who wanted to prove a point. And they seemed to really put in a shift last night. And when they get going and when they play the likes of Greenwood, Lingard, James and Rashford, there's probably a bit more energy to them. And that's really what the Premier League is all about. It's all about hitting teams quickly, and it's about you know, creating chances before people slot back into formation and back into shape. And it was probably a different dynamic to Manchester United last night. And when you come up against a leaky Spurs defence, there's always going to be goals and there's going to be chances there. And if you look at the goals that Spurs gave away, between Rashford's first goal, you know, Gazinga has to save, and then Sissoko's decision to bring Rashford in for the penalty was absolutely diabolical. Mourinho has a job on his hands there, because since he's gone in, every game they've played, they've conceded two goals. You can't be relying on scoring three to win football matches. So there's serious worry for Tottenham, particularly defensively and particularly in the middle of the pitch, that needs to be addressing. But for Solskjaer and Solskjaer's job and his security, that was a massive result last night.
Yeah, you spoke about the energy levels. The first 30 minutes, I'd say Ollie would be delighted with Man United. They really just went out and grabbed the game, didn't they?
They did, and that's what Man U fans want to see. And if players go out and they put on a performance and they show that they're moving the ball quickly, that they're closing people down, that they're pressing, that there's a bit of energy and life to them, well, then fans will maybe accept one or two poorer results. But the likes of the first half against Sheffield United can't be repeated, because they're too big a club. And I know they're not as strong as they previously were, but they've still got talent in their squad. And you would expect to see more of the likes of that first 30 minutes last night, because Man U at home should be a fixture that teams fear, as opposed to, you know, the way things have been for the last 12 months, where teams are actually looking forward to the fixture, a nice big pitch, lovely stadium, and a team that you can get at.
Why can't they do it all the time though, Paul?
Marie, if you had the recipe for success, and if you knew the answer to that, or if I knew the answer to that, I'd say we wouldn't be having this telephone call. We'd be sitting on a director of football job at Manchester United.
But Paul, it is something we expect from United. Like, those players shouldn't be, like, they're very talented, and I know people would say he could have a better squad, but last night in the first 30 minutes, they just showed a desire, a want to play and get that result.
They did, and if you look to the team last night, between Wan-Bissaka, Mason Greenwood, Scott McTominay, Rashford and Daniel James, there's youth, and there's probably a lack of fear amongst those players, whereas the older ones are maybe holding themselves back a bit and maybe a bit fearful of wearing the jersey and the expectation of playing for Manchester United. And they've identified that they were going to do this, that they were going to look to recruit younger players and go down that avenue. So that takes time to bed in, but if they can replicate that more on a weekly basis, well, then you would imagine that they're going to have positive results. At the same time, it's not to get carried away. Tottenham defensively are terrible. You know, they conceded twice again last night, and they're not at this moment in time one of the top teams in the Premier League. So it's a step in the right direction, but one that Solskjaer and I'm sure the rest of the squad won't get too carried away with.
Donica spoke about Dele Alli last night and the type of player that he is, but he scored in three consecutive appearances in all competitions, but only for the first time since March 2017. But he must be rejuvenated, Paul.
He is, and it's a strange one. You know, when I was in speaking with you guys recently, I was saying that Pochettino was somebody who really likes Dele Alli, and that was reciprocated from Alli to Pochettino. So, you know, there was a lot of love between the two of them, but for whatever reason, he wasn't performing to high levels. And maybe it was just that he needed a new voice. He needed somebody to spark him again, to get him going and get him thinking differently about his game and how he performs and what he brings to the side. But there's definitely been a new life. You can see there's a smile back in his face. And that goal that he scored last night was just absolutely outrageous. The first touch, you won't see a better, and the finish was equally as good. So there's definitely more life to him, and the way they're going, because they're conceding so many goals, they need a lot from the likes of Kane, Ali, Moore and Son in regards to scoring goals. So long may that continue if you're a Tottenham fan.
Yeah, and moving on to Leicester, 2-0 over Watford last night. Jamie Vardy, 7 goals in a row. He's on fire, isn't he?
He is, and it's back to the Jamie Vardy of when they won the league title. And he's been performing so, so well since Brendan Rodgers came in. And it's quite a difficult job because Brendan Rodgers' side is a very much possession-based team. That when you're playing up front there, sometimes you go long periods of time without touching the ball. So he has that really strong concentration and that real knack that all centre-forwards have. And with the likes of James Maddison behind, Perez and Harvey Barnes, he's always going to get chances. But really good display last night, scored a penalty and was really good throughout the game. But Leicester are going from strength to strength. And if you're talking about a manager who's, you know, potentially being linked with a couple of the jobs out there, Brendan Rodgers would be right up on your list, because the job he's done there in regards to galvanising Leicester and putting them where they are in the table has been absolutely incredible. Like, they've only conceded 9 goals this season, so you can talk all you like about going forward, they've been so good, but defensively they've been unbelievably good too.
2 games tonight, Paul. Sheffield United and Newcastle kicking off at 7:30, and Arsenal Brighton at 8:15. I suppose all eyes will be on Arsenal because of Freddie Ljungberg. Do you think there's any quick fix for them?
I'm not sure, based on what I saw on the weekend. You know, the same problem still exists. I think any defence that has a David Luiz in there is gonna be leaky, and they just look like a bit of a soft touch. They don't look as if they want to defend, and then when they go forward, they're nice to watch, but not exactly got the same threat that a Man City or a Chelsea or even a Liverpool hold. So it's going to take time, and I'm not sure Ljungberg's going to be the man to take that forward. I think it's a huge, huge job. I think it's going to require somebody with vast amounts of experience to change around, because there's a few characters in that dressing room that I wouldn't be surprised if they were shifted out and there was a complete change of the culture, because I think that's what's needed. But tonight, in regards to Arsenal's league campaign, in regards to getting going again, they need to beat Brighton at home. They really, really need to beat Brighton at home, because they need to start, I guess, at least gathering a bit of momentum, that if somebody is to step into the job, well, then they're stepping in at the right time. The players need to start hitting a bit of form, because 4 wins from 14 fixtures isn't good enough for a team like Arsenal.
Paul, thanks so much for joining us. We've run out of time. We didn't even get to discuss Ian Wright in the jungle, but thanks so much.
Thanks, Paul. See you.
We're going to take a quick break, but we've Brian Cody after this break.
Game on 2FM.
With Gillette's InGuard Sensitive, the first razor of its kind designed to stop irritation on sensitive skin. So say bye-bye to shave irritation and razor bumps. Gillette, the best a man can get.